You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to a new edition of To the Journey.
To the journey!
And as you can hear, we have many voices on the show. For the first time, we've got guests. I'm Charlene, of course, and my co-host is...
Tristan Riddell.
And wonderfully to join us are Daniel Prue, Darren Moser, and Philip Gilfus from our sister podcast over in the Alpha Quadrant, Earl Grey. How's it going, guys?
Going good.
It's going great. I heard you were interviewing new chefs, so I brought a couple recipes over.
Good.
What's a rabbit?
No, it's a jalapeno. I need more jalapenos.
Jalapenos.
For those of you who have heard the latest edition of Earl Grey, you heard us talking about Q on Earl Grey, and they on Earl Grey have come to the Delta Quadrant to discuss Q on Voyager with us. So why don't we just dive in? And we like to do a little first impressions round robin on TTJ. So I would love to know from you guys, when you found out when Q is going to be on Voyager, what was your reaction? Daniel, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, I'll go first. I grew up with TNG and then kind of dropped out of the Star Trek circle for a long time. And then kind of got back into it. So once I started to get back into Star Trek and hearing that Q was going to be on, or had been on, I guess, the other shows, like I was like, okay, what is this going to be about? Like what will happen? And then of course we all know the failed experiment of putting Q on Deep Space Nine. And then, seeing Q, especially initially on Voyager, I was like, okay, this is cool. I like this. I like they kind of get it and they move it a little bit forward and in an interesting way. Maybe not the way I would have gone with it, but that's okay. So overall, I guess first impressions would be optimistic.
Okay, Darren, how about you?
I'm trying to flash back to February of 96 when Q just graced the tiny television in my room. And I watched Voyager in secret at night at 11 o'clock because I wasn't supposed to watch quite that much television. But when I heard Q was going to be on, you know, a good old, you know, next-gen character, you know, not that Barkley guy, but you know, an actual from the pilot, you know, character, you know, I thought, well, obviously from a writing standpoint, it's like, well, who can we bring over to this show? And there's only so many characters that fall into that category that have the ability. But, you know, I was encouraged by it. I think, you know, not just because of the character, because of John DeLancey. And he is just an amazing actor and what he does with the role. And he's constantly been expanding and working on the role of Q, and I was excited to see where they took it in Voyager.
And Philip?
Yeah, you know, it's odd to think, you know, back then, during the live run episode, like, I don't remember all the, like, the spoiler, like, I don't remember, you know, there was no Twitter, Facebook, like, I don't remember their, like, Star Trek communicator announces Q will be in the next Voyager. I mean, that may very well have happened, but I don't really remember, like, having any foreshadowing that it was going to happen. I mean, I'm sure there was a commercial of, like, next on UPN Star Trek Voyager, Q returns, and William Riker like you've never seen him before. I don't remember that.
Yes, that was the promo, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the first showing was cool because you, like, Q, oh, wait, no, this isn't Q, this is... another Q. Wait. Oh, so it's not really. Oh no, it is Q. And then you got Riker, and then no. But I mean, I enjoyed it totally. I mean, though, I couldn't quite understand why all the Q were wearing lipstick and some sort of eyeshadow in Voyager. I mean,
it was the same reason why Spock was wearing eyeshadow.
Well, right. I mean, I know the Delta Quadrant, you know, gets you a little puffy. I mean, I've seen, you know, all seven seasons can really wear you down there. So maybe I thought maybe some, like, lip balm or protection there and, you know. But other than that, I thought it was definitely, because I don't really remember the DS9 episode. Like, I may not have ever seen it at that point when I saw the Voyager episode. Because, like Daniel, I like TNG. And period. And then Voyager started, and I'm going to watch this series. So, not, you know, not, I, of course, looking forward to my DS9 rewatch. But so I did kind of drop out, but I did watch Voyager live run. So, but yeah, no, I definitely loved all the Q stuff. But I know we'll talk about it because it's sort of like good episode, and then this one too. So, yeah.
You kind of. Well, and you know what? I've got to follow up on something you said there, Philip. And we didn't have Facebook or Twitter. And I don't even know if Communicator even publicized Q's appearance until after it actually happened. I don't remember that. But I do remember TV Guide.
TV Guide. That's right. Yes, I had so many Voyager TV Guide specials. Whenever you were at the supermarket and you saw anything Star Trek related on the cover, you don't like you would grab as many as you could.
Yeah, and it happened often in this time period too. I mean, I think for this week when Death Wish aired, it was Kate Mulgrew and John DeLancey on the cover of TV Guide. I really wish I would have gone downstairs now and brought up my collection. I've got them.
Like, I remember there was an article in, like, in the middle of TV Guide, and they're, like, together and just, like, laughing, and it looks like it's totally posed laughter with a white
right.
background.
They're in a coffee shop, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally staged, but it's awfully cute. And for those that don't know, and how do you not know this, but just in case, John DeLancey and Kate Mulgrew, longtime friends, I really think that comes across on the screen, too, when they're doing Voyager.
Q worked on TNG, and he worked on Voyager, and he didn't on DS9. I mean, it was an okay concept, and, you know, Avery Brooks is an amazing actor, and John DeLancey is an amazing actor, but, you know, the chemistry is not always there. And you definitely saw that chemistry that they brought from their real life onto screen with Voyager, and it makes a difference.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
And I think the interesting part when we were talking sort of about in the Earl Grey podcast about the Jean-Luc and Q relationship, I think there's even a comment during the episode Cupid of like, Jean-Luc brought down by a woman. If I had known this, I would have appeared as a female. And so you have this sort of different thing of like, you know, now you have the woman captain and Q and, you know, not to be that guy, but I'll just go ahead and be that guy, you know, well, man and woman, is there going to be any kind of tension? Wah. And so, but right. You know, but I mean, you didn't know, but I mean, like, so it's like, is that going to, how's that interplay going to be? Because you sort of had, okay, Q and Picard, we know Q and Sisko, you know, that was a thing. And so, but how's it going to work with these two?
Right. Well, that's one thing I want to bring up is, did Q treat Kathy differently than he did Jean-Luc?
You mean Madam Captain?
Madam Captain, yes.
I thought Riker was going to get this command.
You know, I think the reason that episode, the Deep Space Nine episode, fails so completely, you know, is that it is about Q and this human female. And it's like,
Bosh,
like,
she has a name.
And a lot of it's like, why? Like, why would Q care, like, romantically speaking, you know, about this human female so much? And I think a lot of, and I do think that Q and Janeway work on a lot of levels, but this idea that definitely happens in the second Q Voyager episode, the Q in the Gray, is that this, that he like has a romantic interest in her? Like, I don't buy that for one second. Like, that's when the episode leaves me behind. It cuts me off, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. This doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know if you could call it romantic interest. I mean, he presented it that way. You know, he got the chocolates and the roses, and you know, the
I'm
puppies.
I'm not talking
and
about
like
the puppies.
Yes,
someone had to do it.
I'm not talking about the puppy. I feel like, you know, he presented it that way, but it really wasn't like, oh, you know, like, I'm in love with Catherine Janeway. I want to be with her. I think about her all the time. He's like, no, I just want the human genome. That's all that he wanted.
Yeah, he wanted to make a baby, not
like
have romance.
That's all he wanted. Like, that's all he wanted. I mean, come on. It's not like, nah.
He's looking for an egg donor, basically.
Yeah, looking for a donor, not a companion. And so I can understand where it would be on shaky ground, you know, when he started doing that, where you're just like, oh, come on. You know, there's no way that's real.
He just likes the doctor. He's like, you know, just wants a companion. That's just what Doctor Who's been doing for 50 years. So, you know.
Well, okay, I kind of want to steer us back just for a moment because I don't want us to skip over Death Wish, because I think that this is, I think, the most powerful episode that Q appears on in Voyager. I mean, we're dealing with a very controversial and difficult topic about one's right to die. So how do you guys feel that this episode was handled?
It's such an interesting episode because it's both funny and serious, as Q can be, but we really see it in one episode, putting it all together, because you get the Q chase in the beginning of the first act, or I don't know how the breakdown is, but, you know, the Christmas tree, which is where Voyager references Christmas, for the trivia people. Generations does it for the Next Generation, and then TOS too. Anyway, but then you have the beginning of the universe and everything. You have that great line: "This ship will not survive the beginning of the cosmos."
Yes, thank you.
From Milana. But anyway, if you're gonna have a Q episode, what do you need? A trial, because that's how you do Q. Put him in a courtroom. But you know, because he sort of have that again. Not to go into my Picard, but we're a courtroom. It's a crucible for the truth. Of you know, this suicide, because you have Kathy, you know, tackling this moral issue of, you know, either I let this guy commit suicide or confine him to an asteroid or, you know, or meteorite for the rest of his existence. And it's we get our first, I mean, you don't do the whole episode here, you know, and we do, you know, get our first Q continuum glance and blah, blah, blah. But it's a great, great, great episode.
Darren, what do you think?
No, I agree. It is a very strong episode, not just because it's a Q episode, but because of what it deals with. And Star Trek at its best doesn't shy away from the tough, you know, moral dramas. I mean, we all say, oh, we love our moral dramas here on Star Trek. But, you know, when it's done right, you know, a moral drama can be done in a terrible way with Will Scarlet and, you know, and a Merryman Worf. But no, in Death Wish, we get these really important decisions. And I think Q does, you know, a really good job with that. The only little part that maybe I'm just not cultured enough, but of the three people that he pulls from the past, okay, I get Sir Isaac Newton and the apple. I get, you know, Will Riker because we're making the TNG reference. But the third guy, I mean, am I just showing my decade? But I know who he is.
What happened to the groovy chick with the beads?
The groovy chick with the long red beads.
He becomes an orthodontist. Do you know how many teeth he helped, Darren, in the 20th century?
It all makes sense now. Now my favorite episode.
You know how many Trek fans he ended up seeing? You know?
I feel like maybe that was, it was, you know, we get a historical connection, we get a callback connection with Riker, and then we get a kind of down-to-earth connection where it's the everyman.
Literally. Yeah. I would say the most random connection, yeah. But yes.
Yeah, I feel like it was just an attempt to kind of do the everyman.
Now, I do have to poke, just because we mentioned it. You know, I do love the Riker appearance, so he can get his award for showing up in every series. You know, punch the card here. You know, all he has to do is one more series, and he gets that free beard trim. But the thing that kills me, you know, because I have to be that guy, continuity, why is he wearing the old uniform, and why doesn't he, oh, this isn't the right time.
We don't know which time he was pulled from.
That's yeah, that's true. That's what it is. Like,
except that he knows Janeway is captain of the Voyager.
No. You don't understand, Philip. That, you know,
I'm about to get one-upped.
It's really much, much worse.
You're about to get one-upped. Do you know how in the episode dealing with Oh man, go ahead, Tristan. Oh, no. Go ahead, Tristan. Tell me what the name of the ship or the cloaking technology and
Pegasus.
Thank you, Pegasus. So
wait, that's from our series. How can you forget?
No, that's
one?
From Enterprise. Wait a minute.
That's
no.
My point. That's my point. Like, there is an alternate reality where Riker goes to the end of the corridor. He takes a right to go to the holodeck, and then he ends up on the Enterprise NX-01. And he takes a left, and Q steals him from the Enterprise D and pulls him into this Voyager episode. So that way he's connected to every series. That just makes the most
in that one episode, it becomes the most important episode ever.
It does, yeah.
But he's just like, oh, it's Commander Riker. I'm like, oh, really, you could have put him in the Generations uniform? It would have been fine. We know.
Well, he was only in that half the time anyways.
Yeah,
let's
and I hated the Generations uniform.
You mean the one that they're wearing in Voyager? Now it's awkward.
Yes.
Now it's awkward.
Oh, this is awkward.
Thanks. It's been great being on To the Journey.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And they never had guest again.
I'm trying to remember. So, was Riker aware of her getting the Voyager command?
Because I think she said something like, it's welcome to the Voyager. He's like, oh, Captain Janeway. And I'm like,
well, Okay. Here's the thing. This is what our loyal listeners will understand. In Pathway, actually, no, in Mosaic, they talk about how Janeway actually went on a date with Riker. And so that's why they know each other.
What?
They knew each other from the Academy.
Yes.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
Hang on.
So did they go on a date or did they go on a.
No. We have
date.
To stop.
No,
this.
Not that kind of date.
No. It was a real date. It was a blind date, and it was a blind double date. And they
wait. Who are the other two characters?
I can't remember for the life of me. But
they have Q titles. That's why we can't remember.
We have to. This is a mind blowing.
And
revelation.
So that would explain why, like, Riker understood who Janeway was, but it didn't necessarily mean that he knew what the Voyager was.
But in true Riker fashion, it took him about like 30 seconds. She looks familiar. Did I?
Do you know what?
Oh, yes.
You know what
that double date.
And no, they did not.
What else would have explained that, right? Or at least their familiarity would have been if Riker was offered command of the Voyager, and for some reason, you know, he stubbed his toe or whatever, he decided, no, I don't want
an apple fell
of
off
ship.
A tree, and he turned left, and then he didn't get
right.
command of the Voyager.
That story is generally considered to be apocryphal.
I think the explanation is way simpler, guys.
Yeah.
I think, take a season 7 Riker, who's in the old uniform. That is right about the time when Voyager launched. If Riker is reading his staff reports, finding out what's going on within the Federation and Starfleet, he's going to know that Catherine Janeway took command of this ship.
Or at least when Voyager was commissioned, because it takes some time to build it. So
there's even a more direct connection, because Tuvok tried to take over the Enterprise D in
Starship
Mines. So
that's true. He did.
So he filled her in. So it's cool.
This is.
And I mean, it really doesn't take that long to build a starship. I mean, come on, you blow yours up like Kirk, and you have another one with an A slapped right on it.
Yeah, those Defiant
a month
classes
later,
everywhere. I mean,
that.
The Defiant A was ready in no time. You know, Daniel. Anyway, sorry.
So why don't we move on to the Q and the Gray, which it's a fun episode, but I've heard a lot of mixed reviews on Q and the Gray. I want to know, first off, where do you guys stand with it? And, you know, kind of what leads you to either liking it or disliking it?
Q sex.
Is that for or against?
Or is that a hashtag that we're trying
it
to get trending?
It will be
now. That's now the name of the episode. That's what that is.
Yeah.
The other hashtag is hashtag...
That's right.
You've used all characters just with that many M's. Anyway. I think I've heard y'all talk about this episode before. I like it. I mean there's stuff you can poke at it, but I mean no, I liked it. It was fine, you know. Again, the launching point, we talked about in Earl Grey, like the Q continuum, how it was mysterious, but both in Death Wish and in Q and the Grey, we kind of learned the Q continuum, and it's opened up and we see all the Q in the world over here. And I mean, to me, I loved being the Scarecrow. We've all been the Scarecrow, but here in the Q continuum, it's Civil War era. You could be a dashing Union officer and all this stuff. So I liked it.
Yeah, the costuming is certainly totally awesome. And actually, to actually go back to what we were talking about in Earl Grey about the mystery of the continuum as we knew it then, as opposed to Voyager, where we actually see the continuum in a couple of instances, I feel like both serve their purpose for each show respectively. Does that make any sense?
I mean, I love the whole symbolism of you know, I'm seeing it, you know, I've made it so y'all can understand it, but like the road, I mean, I love that, you know, the whole symbology, the road you go on, the road you go off the road, and the magazines, the new age, the old age, the pinball machine with all the galaxies and planets on the pinball machine. And
right.
I mean, it's just, I just think it was cool.
Planet Croquet.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Darren, what did you think of Q in the Gray?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, the extra layers it did kind of reveal about the Q. And I do enjoy, you know, that the prop master happened to stumble into the back closet, found all these great, you know, Civil War era costumes and decided to write a whole episode around it. But no, I think it, as an episode, especially as a Voyager episode, it's a lot of fun. It toes the line right between, you know, it has the costumes kind of like Cupid, but it also has serious implications with the Q continuum like Death Wish. So it's right kind of down the line. They're like, okay, well, do we do a silly Q? Do we do a serious Q? It's like, oh, let's just do both. Because, you know, why not?
Because you can.
Because you can. Yeah.
That Q and Gray sort of has, you know, you know, it's definitely Q Picard, where, you know, Q always has, like, it takes half the episode to find out Q's real purpose, and then the same thing always happens on Voyager, which I love in Death Wish, where Kathy references, we've all gotten the Q briefing about your appearances on the Enterprise. Oh, has little Jean-Luc been whispering behind my back? Like, what is the Q briefing like? Is it like a video of, like, hello, I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Let me talk to you about Q.
You may remember me from such first contacts as
the Stargazer, Enterprise D, and other ships I destroyed. I mean, that whole Q and Gray, because you get like the whole love story, you know, quote unquote love story, and, you know, bar roading and chilling out with the boys. And I always love that Tom Paris look of, I didn't have a Hawaiian shirt, but I kind of had a shirt that was kind of like Tom Paris. I always like to put my little Starfleet emblem right there, just have like your shirt over there and just have your.
Nice.
But then, of course, you had the whole Civil War era thing. But, you know, this is the thing. TNG gets criticized about this, and so does Voyager. But this is one of those things you can show in this episode. Oh, Voyager doesn't have any continuity, blah, blah, blah. Hey, this episode is a direct consequence from Death Wish, that there were real consequences, and here we are in Q in the Gray learning of those consequences.
And you see the consequence of Q in the Gray in the final Q episode, Q2.
Yes. So it's Segway. A whole three arc. Yeah. How about that?
You've been now, DS9'd.
You know what I just realized, guys, is if Kathy really didn't want to put up with Q, all she had to do was punch him in the face.
Well, or elsewhere.
But then we wouldn't have had these episodes and we wouldn't be talking about them. So I'm kind of glad she didn't.
Okay, so I'm the only one here in the group here that hates the Q in the Gray.
Well, explain, please.
I despise that episode. I think that I think it kind of leads to the downfall of the Q. I think the writers of this episode went the complete opposite direction that they should have gone in, and forced Q into a situation that doesn't make any sort of sense. If you have all, I mean, like, I understand what they were trying to go for. I don't get it. I don't want to see Q shooting muskets at other Q. This makes I understand it's supposed to be a representation. I get that.
Yeah, it's only how you're perceiving it, Daniel. Your limited human perception of how you.
I don't know. I just no. Like no. Like
we saw him, you know, the sword fight. You know, in medieval clothing.
I mean, you're right. Like, I don't know what it is. Then maybe I can't quantify it. Just the concept of a human being. Being so special and so important and so vital.
Well, didn't you see the Lego movie? I mean, that's pretty much the whole
I haven't
plot.
Seen the Lego movie yet.
God,
Lego.
You
no,
haven't
man.
Seen
Why
the
would you
Lego
ask
movie
question?
Yet, Daniel?
Oh, man.
Don't feel bad, Daniel. I just got around to seeing Her this weekend.
I haven't seen that either.
You will never be
really
the special.
It's really good. Check that out. Okay, well, if you don't like Q and the Gray, then, Daniel, what do you think about Q2? Because this is a direct continuation of that episode.
I don't want to be the bad guy, but Q2 is like the, like, it's like, and the fact that I don't like, to a large degree, the Q and the Gray, Q2 is like just the worst to me. Like, it just, it makes Q not an interesting character. It strips him of all of his interesting attributes. It strips him of anything that makes him special, and essentially makes him kind of a deadbeat dad. And like
a Worf?
Like a Worf. He's definitely a deadbeat dad. And it's like, and but even in that instance, like, he has some redeeming qualities, but it's just like, I don't know. Do you guys, as Voyager fans, do you like Q2?
I don't know. We Shar and I have talked about Q a lot over the course of To the Journey, and it's Q2. We have a love-hate relationship with Q2 just because we like it, because we love Q and we want to see Q as much as we can. And at the same time, I hate young Q. I think the whole premise is really stupid, and it just, there's so many times that Q is not true to his own character, and there's so many things that he does that the Q from TNG or even the Q in Death Wish would never do, and it just felt like they were writing for somebody else.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely a decline from TNG to Death Wish to Q in the Gray and then to Q2. By the time you get to Q2, yeah, any more Q would have been a really bad mistake.
But talk about perfection. I mean, that line alone. No, never mind.
You know what the real redeeming thing is in that episode is the warp core disco party.
That, yeah, is at least wonderful. We get that.
Yeah, that is great.
That's the one thing.
I know that young Q is played by Keegan DeLancey. That doesn't mean that you inherit his acting abilities.
He was okay. I just think the character, there's a lot of writing problems in that episode, and we could probably go into a whole analysis on that, but let's not say we did. One thing that really does bother me in Q2, though, guys, is, like, previously, Kathy shoots down Q's offers to bring Voyager home, saying that they're going to make it on their own with hard work and determination. And in this episode, she turns the tables and she asks Q if he's willing to bring the ship and crew home, and then he refuses. Discuss.
That was the challenge of bringing Q to Voyager, that, like, well, there's going to be the obvious question, can he bring them home? And so I think the defense was like, well, Q will just say no, and then that'll be it. And so
he'll be like, have you been here 7 years? Then no.
Well, the first time, like in Death Wish, she said no because, you know, he put a price on it. It was Quinn's life, and she wasn't willing to pay that price. And then in this one, he's just like, I'm not going to do the work for you. You know, like, you didn't hook up with me, so whatever.
You had your chance.
It's not like that episode where I just put the Enterprise into the Delta Quadrant and then just put him back in the same episode. We're going to stretch this
years. I could do it. I mean, I totally
but I don't want it. Like, I have this question for Voyager fans, because, like, I agree with you. Like, in Death Wish especially, they have a legitimate excuse. Like, Janeway pulls the data, like, where she's like, I'm not willing to do that. I want to get there on my own. I'm not willing to pay the price. And that's okay. I buy that wholesale. You don't have to explain that to me any further. But at any subsequent time they bring Q on, where the Voyager crew or even Janeway specifically provides a service for him or gives him something, provides a service, right? Right, that's fine. Let me give you my
finger.
What
episode did you watch, Daniel?
it was the
fanfic. The fanfic he was writing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, like any other time that he shows up, it's like it becomes increasingly inconsistent to believe that he couldn't just...
He's being ungrateful is what we're saying, and rude.
I think that's why we only see him in 3 episodes instead of 8, like in TNG. You know, like, we see him in season 2, season 3, and then, bam, season 7.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate for some character to get overused and just see them all the...
You watch your mouth, Philip.
To be fair, it is a Q that decides that 7 has to be naked, is it not?
I mean, to me, that was what on Earl Grey. I talked about how Q can sometimes be that you know, that fourth wall breaking. And here in Q2, you have that sort of like, hey, this is the one that everyone says is the hot woman. Hey, let me talk about her being hot. You know, because, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, actually
and
acknowledge.
Doesn't he, like, remove Neelix's mouth completely? Like,
just uses his mouth.
Yeah.
All the fan submissions, Q2 is just reading and going, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was using Astrometrics as a big screen TV, which all of us were thinking about. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they just build that into the bridge? Like, why does it have to be another room? Don't we have the technology to take that and put it in front of, you know, the captain's chair?
No, no. Stellar cryptography should be your biggest room outside of Cetacean Ops. It should be Cetacean Ops and Stellar cryptography are roughly the same size rooms.
All right, well, one last question for you guys. Do you think Q was used too much on Voyager, or did they get it just right? Or would you have actually wanted to have seen more? I think we answered that question already, though, so what are your thoughts on this one?
Daniel, what are your thoughts on that?
Daniel, I'm calling on you.
Use him less. No, I actually think that there could have been an interesting, kind of dynamic between him. And I think there was an interesting dynamic between Q and Janeway. I think they went in the wrong direction. I think after Death Wish, which I think was a great episode, I think they kind of just, they took a left where they should have taken a right. And, I mean, there are good parts of those episodes, and there are good moments between Q and Janeway. I kind of wish they didn't go in the direction that they did. And so I would have preferred, I guess I would have preferred less Q.
All right. Darren, how about you?
Yeah, I think overall it he became an overused character after 3 episodes. And that's kind of saying something. Most of the times it takes at least a couple more. And like you were saying, I think his progression was, you know, you had Death Wish, which it wasn't so much this had to be Q in this episode. But I mean, you could have rewritten it with a slightly different aliens with, you know, different powers or whatever, but, you know, bringing a familiar face and John Delancey and that worked really well, and it told and it was balanced out by the good, you know, moral drama. But then, you know, as it progressed, I enjoy Q in the Gray. I think it's fun, you know, because Star Trek can be fun every once in a while. It doesn't have to be, you know, about the Borg or about traveling home or about, you know, the reoccurring, you know, memes of the show. But yeah, but then by Q2, it was one Q too many. It was 2 Qs.
I see 1 Q. I think, you know, it's interesting because you look compared to TNG, when Q is there at the beginning and the end of the TV series and all the way in between. But I think Voyager has to be applauded for using Q successfully. Like, this is not a Voyager character. This is a TNG character. But I think they successfully integrated him into Voyager. Just a little sprinkle of Q, just a dash will do you. And, you know, because I think, you know, the first episode was great. I mean, I like Q and Gray. And I really haven't seen Q2 in a while. So, I mean, I remember it being, like, horrible. But, but there's nobody turned into a lizard or anything. I mean, come on now, people.
It could have been much, much worse.
I actually like Threshold. I don't know what people's problems are. But anyway, I think it was great. And I think Voyager successfully integrated a TNG member into their, and made him their own. Like, Q has his own identity in Voyager.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And people either really like it or they don't, I think. I'm kind of 50-50. I do see where you're coming from on that, and I agree to a certain point, but it is still Q, so I hang in there till the last drop. And, well, yeah, I definitely would not have wanted to have seen more, though, by this point. I mean, that would have just been an insult to the character, quite frankly, I think. Tristan, have you got any final thoughts?
I wanted one more.
Q4?
Even though I didn't like Q2, I would have liked to have seen an episode in, like, season 5 in between. I would have liked to have seen something. Just one more, just because 4 is just such a round number. It's great. But that's it for me.
I think the best time to have Q come back is right after, you know, Voyager flies under the Golden Gate Bridge and is back home, and then Q pops up onto the bridge going, okay, Kathy, I've rethought, and I'm willing to help. Oh, you guys, you made it home. Okay.
Oh, this is awkward. Yeah.
I actually have a better scenario for you.
Uh-oh.
there is a season six Voyager episode where Q teaches Harry Kim a very important lesson, and then he gets promoted to lieutenant at the end of the episode.
And then it turns out to be a dream.
Is this the fan fiction again? I mean, there's no way this would happen.
Danfic number 85 on sales on your Kindle.
All right, well, before we get carried away, guys, I think we should wrap this up. Q, however, is not just the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM, although it's mysteriously on some other shows. But here's a look at what else has been happening this week on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Futurama commentary.
Shatner is so good in this. I mean, I know it seems weird to say that. It seems weird to say that a guy is good at playing himself, but Shatner excels at that.
Earl Grey.
Q.
We've all got our claws up right now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he was scared of her. Like, he put out his own hand.
Did he snap her to death? Was it West Side Story?
Yeah, West Side Story.
When you're a Q all the way.
The Ready Room.
Damage.
That's what made Archer's next statement so awesome. And I'm not rationalizing anything. I know full well what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, he understands the ethical ramifications that he's taking. He knows what's going to weigh on his conscience now.
The Orb.
Runabouts.
It definitely feels more like the Old West. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're basically in a covered wagon instead of, like, a train.
But so, a covered wagon that can go warp 5.
To the journey!
Living Witness Rewrite.
This always messed with me when I was younger. Like, the retinas or the nerve endings behind his eyes are dissolving. That's just messed up.
Yeah, what?
Warp 5.
Malcolm Reed.
It almost feels like the writers thought it was fun to just keep throwing facts in and dialogue about him. You know, usually in the show Bible, you want to see people do things, and they just say, oh, we'll have this person say this. We'll have a whole episode about how he loves pineapple, but he's allergic to it.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Robert Hewitt Wolf, Riverworld.
But when you end up at the end of your thing, having gone from, I'm on a beach and I don't know how or why, to, no, don't take the glowing rock and put it in the spaceship. That will destroy the planet, I guess. That is too far, too quickly.
Melodic Treks.
5 musical favorites.
And to see the Klingon ship dissolve in the lightning effect with that music playing, you know, at loud volumes, it was basically a geek's dream.
Literary Treks.
Spock Reflections.
And my favorite is when Amanda goes, I will never get used to a Vulcan scolding.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't take it as a scolding at all.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of these shows for your daily Trek Talk fix. We have new shows coming out to you every day of the week, and we are virtually available on every platform. Or you can just go to trek.fm/pd for the podcast directory, and you can get all the links there. So, let's take a quick break and talk a little bit about our sponsor.
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. And we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. Before we go and before we talk about what we're going to do next week, let's find out where we can find everyone. Daniel, where can we find you?
Twitter would be the best place. I am at OneUpDan. That is the number, not the word. One.
And Darren, how about you?
I'm in the Alpha Quadrant, Planet Earth, North American content, and state of California. But on Twitter, you can find me at Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSciFi.
And Philip, how about you bring us home?
You can find the three of us every week on Earl Grey to talk about all things The Next Generation. Or you can read my solo articles about The Next Generation on Trek FM. And finally, you can reach me on Twitter at handle NC Public Servant. That's NC for North Carolina.
Fantastic. Well, next week, what we are going to be talking about is the costuming on Voyager. We're going to talk about the good costumes and the not so good costumes. So please tune in. And until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!